rivalries these days. These teams are fighting for their playoff lives.
They really are, and this is a Giants team that lost an opportunity and didn't take advantage of one, seeing that on Thanksgiving, Dallas lost, Philadelphia lost, and it was up to you to take control of your own destiny in the division, and they came up short. So coming back off of this week, their backs are against the wall, and they need to come out swinging and fighting, but need to play sound, fundamental football at this as well.
All right, so the Giants go into Sunday's game against the Jets, looking at the NFC East standings and realizing that while they are tied with the Redskins in first place, they are really behind them because of that divisional record.
Not to mention the Redskins still have three divisional games that also control their own destiny. But moving forward here, like I said, this is a time where your back is up against the wall, and it's all about how you come out and how you play as a football team collectively. Sound running the football, protecting the quarterback, stopping the run, no breakdowns and coverages. And the biggest thing that has to happen, they've got to create those turnovers and takeaways at the end of the game like they had the opportunity in Washington.
David, no team wants to be in a position where they need to scoreboard watch. But as we take a look at the schedules for the Giants and the Redskins the rest of the way, it's only human nature to take a glance. As a player, you were in that position before. Do you do it?
I mean, you do. I mean, because obviously the way that other teams play and the way that their wins and loss come up do affect you. But at this point in the season, it's all about you taking care of business yourself. You cannot rely on other teams to get wins, to stack or lose or however that may happen. It's about you going out on the field each and every Sunday and coming up with a W, plain and simple. You can't rely on other teams.
David, it's time for our Geico News Recap. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on auto insurance. And we have to talk about the offensive line because there are health concerns up and down.
There really are. I mean, if you look at it across the board, you know, moving when Schwartz got hurt, moving John Jerry, you know, obviously Newhouse and Bobby Hart is probably going to possibly play this week. Playing offensive line is all about cohesiveness and being on the same page with one another. And the minute that that is lost, that's where you see the pressures, the inability to run the football, tackles for a loss, quarterback hits and sacks. All five have to be in sync and in tune with one another. And the only way that you can do that is with experience playing next to one another.
And you heard Coach Coughlin talk about Richburg and Pugh still in limbo, but he's trying to be as optimistic as he can. Let's get a look at the rest of the Giants injury report. A couple of guys I do want to address, Ayers and Merriweather. Ayers limited on a toe, Merriweather not practicing with a knee.
But, you know, we'll go right back to that offensive line issue. We have three of the starters on the injury list, which is not a good thing for the Giants and is not a good thing for Eli Manning because he has to be confident and he has to be comfortable in the pocket to where he's not forcing things and he's not trying to force anything down the field because of the inability to run the football. And we, plain and simple, saw that in this Washington game.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. The Giants did have to juggle their offensive line against the Redskins. Eli threw 51 passes, which is an incredibly high amount. Got picked off three times, which was a season high, and it's only the second time in two seasons that Eli's thrown that many picks in a game.
And that's because of his being able to feel that pressure, like he has to make a play. And when you have the inability of the offensive line to protect, yeah, he's going to try to sling it. He's going to take risks. So moving forward here, they've got to find the best five combination going into this Jets game because this front seven of the New York Jets are very tough. And, you know, the first thing that they're going to say, we're going to stop the run game and we're going to force it in Eli's hands and see if this front five of the New York Giants is going to be able to protect for four plus quarters.
And how many times have you heard coaches say our guys have to make plays? You saw there in the video highlights, the Giants receivers didn't exactly help Eli out a whole lot. And when the running game's not going well, 13 carries for 33 yards, that's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem because, you know, even with Odell Beckham Jr. playing at a high level, other players are going to get their opportunities for one-on-one matchups, and that's where they need to step up and make plays. And that's where we were looking for Dwayne Harris, Reuben Randle. But it all starts with running the football effectively. If you can't get yourself into third and manageable downs, you're going to have a lot of pressure on your offensive line. I will say this. I give a lot of credit to Bobby Hart and the way that he stepped up to jump out on the field as a rookie and play the way that he did. And I think moving forward here, if he can show the consistency, he is a tough, stout player that can maybe take over that right tackle position if Newhouse does not go.
You know, David, one of the things that has been a constant all year long is Odell Beckham. You mentioned it moments ago. Fourth straight 100-yard game registered last week against Washington. 9 for 142, as you see. He had a 21-yard touchdown pass. He really has been sensational.
He really has been sensational. And when you have a dynamic playmaker like this, who is fearless, who is confident, that is still making plays, even though he is getting all the coverage towards his side, other wide receivers and tight ends have got to step up. This is where not having Larry Donnell and having a solid tight end that has played this season really hurts this offense and the production out of everybody else.
Well, our Twitter question addresses that very fact, David. He wants to know, who else should Eli lean offensively when Beckham is getting so much attention? Last week against Washington, a season-high 18 targets for Beckham. That's the second most targets he's had in his career.
You know, number one, we'll start just the tight ends and lack thereof a dynamic tight end. But it's got to be the wide receivers. When you have a number one playmaker like an Odell Beckham Jr., if you are a receiver in that group, you'd be salivating at the mouth because you are going to have opportunities to make big plays. Last week, they did not come up with it, and I think the inconsistency throughout the entire season, whether it's going to be 1 week Harris, the next week Randall, both need to play in sync at the same time in order for this offense to do what it wants to do.
Let's flip it to defense for a second. No sacks, three hits on the quarterback. When you don't get to the other guy's quarterback, he can throw 63-yard touchdown passes to DeSean Jackson.
He really can, and I think that you've seen the change in the culture of Washington when that number five pick came and they took Brandon Scherff. Scott McLuhan, the GM, knows that it's about protecting the quarterback. It's about being strong from the inside out, and that's what they were able to do. This was a battle-tested Washington team that knew that the Giants defense was going to come in, try stopping the run and put it on Kirk Cousins, but they were able to protect for him.
And well, you don't pressurize the other quarterback, you don't get turnovers. Giants were minus three last week. They're now only plus 10 on the season. And you know, that number's got to stay up there.
It most certainly does, Paul.
All right, David, when we come back, we will talk about gangrene and what they have in store for the Giants. Got a hunch we're going to be talking a lot of defense, so stick around. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. This is a Giants home game Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the Jets. David, I don't know how much home field advantage do you think there's going to be? Because, you know, a lot of people in New York, they root for both teams.
They really do. And I remember going back to that 11 game playing in this one. But it was about rivalry. But more important for us as a Giants team, it was about getting a win for the football team and to make the playoffs. So it was much bigger than just a rivalry. And this team is in that same position. Yeah, rivalry is one thing. But if you expect to make the playoffs, you have got to win this football game.
Quick thumbnail remembrance, if you can. Not the Cruz touchdown. Everybody knows about that. Is there another play in that game that kind of sticks in your head?
Absolutely. Last touchdown that we scored, 9 players in the box defensively, ran the ball right down their throat, and Ahmad Bradshaw getting a big touchdown to seal the football game. I mean, that was the best Christmas and Christmas Eve of my life at that night, seeing the Empire State Building in red, white, and blue for the Giants. But it really said something for our football team, and it really turned our team around to continue to give us that confidence going towards the postseason.
Well, the Giants would certainly like the same result. There you see that Bradshaw touchdown you just alluded to coming up on Sunday. Maybe it will be the thing that ignites the Giants' playoff run. But Todd Bowles is now the head coach of the Jets, and he has done a very good job of making this defense pretty ferocious.
He really has. He has these players believing in themselves and putting them in a position to win. And when I covered the Cardinals last year, every player that I talked to showed their love and support for Coach Bowles. And it's no coincidence that they're feeling that same way in New York, not only just on the defensive side, but on the offensive side. He's really instilled that toughness and belief in one another. And the biggest thing you see is this is a football team. They play together. They stick together through thick and thin.
Now, one of the things that's interesting about a defensive-oriented team is that you usually have a manager at quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the former Bill, you want to talk about the good. He's thrown touchdown passes in 10 of 11 games. But you want to talk about the bad. No 300-yard passing games this season, and he's 26th in the NFL in completion percentage.
Well, going back and watching these last two games, first against Houston and then against Miami, it was two different offensive teams because of the production that the Texans' offense were able to have. Against Houston, 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. That were the last 2 drives for the Jets in the fourth quarter. But against Miami, 10 for 17 on third down, 59%, and 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He looked like a different player because of the ability to run the football and the way that the defense played up against the Dolphins' offense.
You know, David, another guy who's looked like a different player at times this year is running back Chris Ivory. He's got 2 100-yard games, but when he's got it going, he is number 1 of the NFL this year with 10 broken tackles.
He sets the tone physically and mentally for this offense. We've seen when he is not in the lineup how it has affected their offense. He is tough, he is physical, and he is a guy that you better hit with the shoulder and make sure you have more people to pile on, because those arm tackles are not going to stop him, and they lean on his production to open up things in the passing game to get it to Decker and Marshall.
Well, you talk about those receivers, and already Tom Coughlin's told you, Brandon Marshall's in the top 10 of virtually every receiving category. Eric Decker, interesting. He's got 8 touchdown catches, and he's had 1 in each of the 8 games that he has scored.
That's the one thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick has learned throughout the season. He is going to get the ball to his playmakers. Against the Dolphins, 11 targets for Marshall, 9 for Decker. Both had 3 touchdowns combined. So early on, it was, okay, I'm going to try spreading it around. But as of late, Fitzpatrick is going right to his playmakers, getting them the ball, and if they're not open, he can still lean on the run game of Ivory.
All right, so we know what the Giants have to look at in terms of that Jets offense, but what about that defense? And the Giants have not run the ball well. These guys are a tough bunch to run the ball against. They've only given up 2 rushing touchdowns all season.
And the biggest thing that they do is they create negative plays on first and second down to cause teams in third and long. If you look at the Dolphins, only 12 yards rushing in the entire game, and what did that cause? 4 for 15 on third down. Out of 15 of those third downs, 7 were for 8 plus, and 3 were for 17, 18, and 25. I don't care what quarterback you have up there. I don't care what offensive line you have. If you're put in those positions on the road, you are not going to be successful.
Well, now remember, last week against Washington, the Giants gave up 3 sacks. All 3 of those sacks came on third and 9 or more yards. So that is certainly a problem. Now, let's talk about Darrelle Revis for a minute. Concussion protocol, don't know what his status is going to be, but if he's not in the game, that does make a difference.
It most certainly does. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins had a nice time on Revis Island, and then he had the concussion. But they're going to have to go to Buster Skrine, who they brought in as a free agent from Cleveland. He would have to step in for Revis's place.
Muhammad Wilkerson is the big guy up front. He's got 8 sacks, and boy, he is a load.
He really is. And their biggest thing is that people have a misconception because they don't have a big sack number that they're not getting it done. Their biggest thing is we want to affect the quarterback, we want to cause pressure, and we want to make sure a quarterback gets rid of the ball fast. And that's what he was able to do in Arizona, and that's what this Jets defense is doing as well.
Well, there's only a month left in the regular season, but this is a virtual playoff game. It's the Giants and Jets Sunday at MetLife Stadium. We hope to see you there, and we'll see you next week right here on Giants Press Conference Live.